Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes from Goodyear, Arizona. Paul, the spring training Cactus League opener is one day away. The Guardians have continued to go through their workouts all this week, getting ready to start playing games. This is sort of that next phase of spring training, all the anticipation of can't wait to get the game started. And then couple weeks from now, we'll be talking about how the players just can't wait for the Cactus League games to be over and for the games to count for something.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. As a manager, I think Stephen Vogt would like to have a couple more days just to get his team make sure everyone was healthy and everybody was ready for the Cactus League season to start, but here it is. It's they're one day away, and even he was saying, it's time to start playing games. When we leave the facility tonight on Friday, it's going to be nice knowing that we've got a game on Saturday against the Reds. So they still haven't named a starter, but I would anticipate that would happen sometime today, and maybe we'll get a lineup too.
Yeah, that could happen as well. In the past, that's been something, at least for the first spring training game, that they've rolled out, and the chance to dissect and talk about and think about that first lineup. But we can always speculate, who we think is going to be in there ourselves. As far as what you saw in camp on Thursday, any matchups in the live at bats that stood out to you, or anybody working or throwing bullpens that you were able to get a look at particularly?
Yeah, a lot of guys threw yesterday. One guy that kind of jumped out to me was Joey Cantillo, left-hander from Hawaii. He faced a group of hitting group that included Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, Josh Naylor, and Laureano, and really he kind of handcuffed him, did a nice job, threw very well, and Vogt said this is a guy that could help them down the road this season. He could be a kind of a quote-unquote impact arm for them.
Yeah, that would be a guy that the organization has been waiting on and has been patient on for a while. So Joey Cantillo, a guy to keep an eye on for sure. Maybe not right out of camp, but staying close to the action, at least with Columbus, as soon as he gets there. Were you able to get a chance to see Scott Barlow, one of the newest Guardians?
Yeah, you'd see him throw. Yeah, he threw well. He's kind of goes about a different way, Joe. Most of these guys, kind of showing off their arms at this stage of camp, throwing very hard and throwing a lot of fastballs. He kind of relies on his breaking ball, a lot of breaking stuff, and he looked good. He looked in control. The hitters weren't making a lot of contact against him, but yeah, it was fun to watch him, and he's going to be a big part of that bullpen this season.
The players had just the ability to sit back and like sort of from the different batting groups, watch these guys. They've seen Barlow before, right? They've seen him with Kansas City a lot, so you know they've got to be pretty familiar with him, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that if I'm not mistaken, that most of the younger guys facing him, all those kind of young power hitters, Rodriguez and John Kenzie Noel, Brito was in that group. I think those were the guys that were facing him, Angel Martinez. So they hadn't really gotten, I don't think they'd really gotten a good look at him, but he did a nice job. He looked, under control and looked like he was ready for the games to start.
Speaking of young power hitters, at least in the organization right now, were you able to see Davison De Los Santos take any live at bats yesterday or no?
I did not see him hit, but I saw, I saw Rodriguez, Noel, and Kyle Manzardo. They all hit the ball hard, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Noel is a big guy, and he was crushing balls. Rodriguez too. Rodriguez what hit 29 home runs last year. Noel hit 27, and you can see why. They're big people, and they put a charge in the baseball.
So does that? I know it was probably 20 minutes of just watching some of these young guys hit against a reliever who's maybe working on some breaking pitches or whatever. But does that give you any hope for this organization and their ability to maybe identify and develop some sort of young power hitters, or is it still an area where the club is struggling and the evidence is not there yet?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in between. And I should say, when I was watching that group, they were hitting off the machine. They weren't hitting off, live pitching. But, there are all these, Rodriguez and Noel were all at Triple-A last year. Manzardo was at Triple-A. These guys are really close, Joe, I think. And, this is a team that has an opening at DH. De Los Santos, too. They're looking for a combination first baseman DH, to spell Naylor. So, the opportunity is there. And I think, one of these guys is going to get a look at some point this season. Now, obviously, De Los Santos is in a different boat as a Rule 5 guy. But I think we're going to see one of these guys. I think, if the front office's mantra is right, one of the reasons we didn't go out and, sign some free agent hitting is because we want to give our young players a chance. Well, this is the time to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. And I guess the other, side of that is the front office is going to have to be patient if they do identify one of these guys, these young guys, as an option. They can't just call them up and then, cast them aside like they did a couple of other young power hitting prospects in Nolan Jones and Will Benson. Those could have been guys that were in the mix here at some point, but now you're starting over after you develop both of those guys in your player development system. And when they arrived, you gave them, maybe a cup of coffee and then sent them on their way. Have they learned from maybe those mistakes and have positioned themselves to maybe give one or two of these guys a longer look this season or in the future, as opposed to, rushing to judgment on whether or not I worry about like a John Kenzie Noel. If he doesn't come up and make a splash right away, that they move on from him and then he goes somewhere else and develops into a strong right-handed bat.
Yeah, I think, Chris Antonetti was talking about that in the offseason, finding ways to give some of their prospects a longer runway, a longer look. And, I'm sure, these guys keep track of the good trades and the bad trades. they study them, they dissect them, and they try to learn as much as they can from them. So yeah, Joe, I think that's an important part of this. And the thing is with these young power hitters, Rodriguez and Noel especially, they come with a lot of swing and miss. So does De Los Santos, you know, and you're going to have to live with that. And, you know, I don't think that's going to change overnight. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad with power hitters.
Yeah, it's if you commit to one of these guys for the season, you know, you're talking about maybe 130 strikeouts, you know, out of them. And that's a tough number to swallow, especially for an offense that that needs run production. And that kind of kills things right there. You talked about, you know, John Kenzie Noel, Kyle Manzardo, Jonathan Rodriguez, any of those guys that you saw hitting off the machine stand out to you in any way, or separate themselves in any way from that group?
Yeah, you know, I just think they, you know, Rodriguez and Noel hit the ball hard. Really didn't get a long look at Manzardo, but, you know, he has the track record. He has the pedigree. You know, he made, you know, really solid contact. Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing is, Joe, okay, you've seen him swing the bat. Now where do they play? You know, that's mm-hmm. the thing. I mean, they, you know, I know Vogt said they challenged Noel to, you know, increase his speed, to increase his flexibility and his mobility this winter. This guy's 6'4", 260, Joe, and he looks like he's in shape. So it's not, there's, you know, he's not going to get to, I don't know how fast he's going from point A to point B, but he looks like, you know, either a first baseman or a DH to me. But he is a big man. And Rodriguez, you know, is not, he's probably 6'2", 6'4". And, you know, 220, you know, I think he played mostly outfield, but Noel can play first base, third base, and in the outfield. So, you know, I want to see those guys defensively too, because, you know, there's only one DH in the lineup.
Yeah. And that's sort of the thing is knowing, okay, if they get the hitting side of things solved, and that's a big question mark, it's where can you put them to, you know, not hurt your ball club in another way. If they help the ball club at the plate, they can't hurt the ball club in the field. And these are all things that Stephen Vogt is definitely going to have to weigh as the games go on, and has the ability to get a look at these different players. Speaking of young power hitters, George Valera, a guy that we didn't mention there, but sort of forgotten in the mix because of an injury-plagued season, an interesting season last year, also involved him getting tossed out of a game, I believe, in Nashville. So what did you learn about George Valera or hear from George Valera that gives you an indication as to how his season's going?
Yeah, he is, you know, he's in a really good frame of mind, Joe. You know, last year, like you said, was a weird year for him. That's how he said it was just hard. You know, he hurt his hand. You know, he was coming off handmade bone surgery on his right hand. Then he re-injured the hand in spring training, missed 2 months, went to Columbus, played 5 games, then pulled a hamstring, came back, and then, you know, was suspended for 6 games for an on the field fight. And, you know, he really, you know, never got his feet on the ground, but he still hit 10 home runs for Columbus. But he said, you know, he spent the winter in the Dominican with his trainer. Then he spent about a month in Goodyear, you know, working on his hand. And he appreciated the Guardians for giving him all that time to get ready. And I think we might see a different guy this year. He seemed to be, you know, really kind of fired up for the season.
Well, maybe he you know, commits to it and just, you know, rises up the prospect rankings there and you know, works his way back towards the top and sort of forces himself into the conversation in the outfield. That's you know, what they've been hoping George Valera can do, because that's a guy that, you know, the strikeouts are going to be there, but and the power will be there, but he also walks, he also gets on base, and that's an important part of the mix with George Valera.
Yeah, he's got a great left-handed swing. We've seen him for a while now. And even despite all the injuries and the up-and-down season last year, he's still ranked the fifth best prospect in the organization by MLB.com. So that shows you what they think of him.
Yeah. All right. I want to remind our listeners, especially Scott Anderson in the Guardians Clubhouse, You can sign up for Guardian Subtext at 216-208-4346 if you want to send a text message there to sign up, or log on to cleveland.com/subtext to register. It's $3.99 a month to join, and you get text messages sent directly to your phone from Hoynes and from me all throughout the season, especially there in spring training. Speaking of Scott Anderson, the home clubhouse supervisor for the Guardians, they've got a problem just like every other team in Major League Baseball right now, and it's a below the belt problem, Hoynesy. It's the pants that are supplied by Nike. The new pants are, by all reports, see-through. The new white pants are cheaply made and see-through, and you've got issues with guys on photo day walking around with the labels and God knows what else showing through the white pants. This is going to be an issue during the season unless something changes really quickly. A lot of the players hadn't really realized what was going on because they were wearing pants from last season during their workouts or whatever, but when players started putting on the new Nike pants, that they started noticing, and they've known for a couple of weeks now that these pants are very thin and very white, and when players start to sweat in the 90-degree heat in July, I think you know, the children in the front row are going to have to avert their eyes because they're going to be seeing things that they don't want to see. What do you think of the pants problem that Major League Baseball has?
Joe, I thought the Guardians' only problem was hitting home runs. Now the uniform problem has arisen. So, you know, it never ends. Let's hope Scotty and Tony Amato get this under control, man. They've got to come to the rescue here.
Well, they're not going to be out there with you know, a needle and thread stitching new pants. I mean, this is a league-wide issue. This is something that Major League Baseball and this goes back to also the new jerseys, I guess, are hideous as well. From everything that we've seen, the numbers are too big, and the nameplate, the names are too small, and they basically just look like you bought them off the rack at a discount store, and that wasn't, you know, I don't think what Major League Baseball intended, but that's what Nike delivered.
Yeah, and so you know, obviously this is not the time to find that out, but they've still got hopefully a month. But I don't know if you can, you know, outfit 30 teams, Joe, and away, home, away, you know, the alternate jerseys. I mean, somebody's going to be very, very busy here if they're going to, you know, kind of make these repairs in time.
Well, and we've heard ever since, you know, COVID about supply chain issues, and, you know, we know where the jerseys come from and we know how they're made, and, you know, it's no secret when you're dealing with Nike about, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, people will have their commentary on that kind of thing as well. But when you get in bed with a company that's known for this kind of thing, I guess this is what you should expect, right? I find it hard to believe that there wasn't somebody sitting there in a room that got to see what these new uniforms would look like, and nobody had a question and said, hey, what happens when these get wet, or what happens when, you know, a Josh Naylor is sweating on an August afternoon home game, and he bends over, and all of a sudden the pants stick to him like an NFL lineman.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Joe. That's I'm going to avert my eyes from that.
Well,
so hopefully this is a problem they get solved here.
Yeah, it's that would be ideal if they could solve that before the first home game. That would be great. But we'll all be looking at the sun for the first home game anyway, so nobody will be looking at their pants, I'm sure. As far as speaking of first home games, the Saturday opener we already talked about coming up. They've got some interesting opponents. They've got Cincinnati in the first game. Sunday they go to Peoria to face Seattle, and then they're back in Peoria on Monday to face San Diego, and then two home games on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week against the Athletics and the Diamondbacks. An interesting first week of Cactus League action, and we don't know what the rotation is going to look like yet or anything like that, right, Wednesday?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, these guys, I would think, the first 4 or 5 games, I'm not sure. I don't, but I know maybe we'll see Bieber at some point next week, Bieber and then McKenzie, but those guys aren't going to, they're not going to pitch, this weekend. I would really doubt that. They've got a ton of pitchers in camp, and Vogt said he knows the pitchers who are going to pitch on Saturday. They just haven't named a starter yet.
Yeah. So like a lot of you're talking like non-roster guys who are trying to make the club or trying to, show something that the club can use them later on during the season. Maybe Carlos Carrasco is a guy that, gets a shot there in the first week or so.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah, because Carlos threw the other day through his, batting practice. I think, he usually comes along a little slowly in spring training, but, he might feel like he's got to show something here early in camp, with him, coming in on a non-roster contract. So perhaps he will get a call in over the next, the first 3 or 4 games.
Yeah. Jaime Barea or Tyler Beattie, also guys who, if they're healthy, if they're on schedule, they might be candidates to pitch over the weekend as well, depending on, obviously they've got a hierarchy. They've got a list of guys who, you need to get in there and get innings. So, the guys that they put on the major league field, it'll be interesting to see. You'll start to know after the first couple of games, who the guys are in the mix for those whatever spots that they're competing for. So, all right, Hoynsie, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Pretty solid week out of Goodyear there from you. Great to hear from you, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Good deal, Joe.